Clear the screen, shift the scene. You're the writer of this dream. Let go of fear, let go of doubt. Stop playing the version that pulls you out. Clear the screen, clear the noise. Choose again, you've got the choice. The story changes when you see. Anxiety came to set you free.
We hear that you might want to have some help with anxiety.
Yes. Yeah. When I heard about the anxiety protocol, I was very intrigued.
There's a specific incident right now that you have some anxiety around, so whether it's a presentation or a meeting or maybe a move, because you seem to move around a lot.
Yeah. Well, I am trying to start to host my first retreat. And yes, and so I actually just got the invoice for paying for the venue for next April. And I get a little bit anxious when I think of trying to market and promote it and try to get people to come to this retreat. Because there's a lot of, I feel like my imposter syndrome really comes from thinking, why would anyone want to pay to do this with me? Even though, you know, there's so many retreats around the world. But I think, okay, why would people choose me? And that is what I have to work through with, you know, realizing that the right people will find me and I will attract the right people, but I sometimes just promoting it and trying to almost toot my own horn with why you should come to my retreat is what makes me anxious.
When is your retreat?
April of next year. So we got...
You have the exact date?
Yeah, April 18th to the 24th.
April 18th to 24th, 2026. Mm-hmm. Is there a certain time that it's going to be ending? Is it like a 9 to 5? Like what are the hours of it?
Not really, because I don't have the day-to-day exact schedule yet, but we'd probably start sometime around 9 to just after dinner.
Okay.
It's a full
day. Having like an ending party or a little graduation or some kind of thing at the end to celebrate.
Yeah, probably like an ending, maybe sharing circle, maybe by the bonfire at the beach. So it's going to be in Sri Lanka. Yeah. I was living there for the past 3 months and absolutely loved it. So
you really do. Oh, wow. That's on my bucket list, going to Sri Lanka.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The surf there is great.
That's awesome. Okay. Sri Lanka. Okay. So your imposter syndrome, you feel who's going to want to come. How many people it would be your ideal amount of people that would come to your retreat?
16, ideally. I'm hosting it with two other friends. So if it was by myself, I would say 10. But because there's us three, I would say 6 is good.
Three hosts. Okay. Melissa, do you have any other questions before I explain how it's going to go?
Just, you mentioned that you're feeling anxious around the marketing of it and the imposter syndrome is coming up. Where are you feeling that in your body? I just want to understand a little bit more around that.
I think more like tightness in my throat.
Okay.
And when that imposter syndrome kicks in, what happens? Do you just kind of stall and get stuck?
Yeah, I have noticed that I tend to procrastinate on, sharing posts on social media. And I know that it's something I need to practice. Then once I start doing it more often, then I get the momentum. And I think I'm getting there. I've done a lot of inner work for this, but I still feel that sometimes I overthink it. And instead of actually just going for it, I just kind of stall, like you said, stall.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So if we could release that anxiety around the imposter syndrome, then that's going to shift your ability in how you move forward towards this retreat and the successful completion of your retreat.
Yes, exactly. And I think on a deeper sense, I think it's me actually charging people for something that I find so fun to do, because it's like, it's just all fun and games. Like, why would I charge people for this? But I think I'm learning that we have to play with our strengths. And it's just one of my strengths to, connect people. And to me, it's like, it's okay to charge for that. That's what I have to work around on.
You know, a lot of people in this healing world, the spiritual world, we feel like money is a negative thing. However, we always say that let money be the symbol of your service in the world.
Yeah.
Right? Because everybody will pay thousands of dollars to go on a vacation, right? Yet we think, why wouldn't they not pay thousands of dollars to literally transform their life?
Yes.
For that week or for the rest of their life. But we shift them. We have lots of other tools that we can help you with, you know, shifting like the limiting beliefs around money and the value of money and what it means when it comes to doing this type of service. Because it sounds like you are very big on serving. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we want to do is actually uplift everybody and help them get into their own way, as we call it, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so you're serving, right? We call it service, not sales. And so if you shift that word around, that for me was a big one when I started doing this work, because I'm serving people as opposed to selling them something.
That's so true. That is very true. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just saw those two points land deeply with you.
Yeah.
Service, not sale. More goosebumps, right? Truth bumps, as we call them.
Bumps.
Yeah. It does.
Let money be a symbol of the service that you offer the world.
That's so true. I never really thought about it that way. Yeah.
As you know, like, we do neuro-linguistic programming, so linguistic is our middle name. And so the language that we use is really important, how we show up. And we're going to give you, we're here to help you with the anxiety, which that's easy. A couple of things I want to invite you to do is take the word try and but out of your vocabulary. Not explain why. Because I've been hearing a lot of try. And when you say try, and you want, let me just, here, let's see, you want, I'm going to just run this little exercise with her. So you have a pen?
Yeah, no, I don't. Oh, yeah.
Something, anything. Just grab something, put it in your hand like this.
Okay.
Now, Janelle, on the count of three, I want you to try to pick up the pen. Okay? One, two, three.
My other hand?
Okay. You did it. Okay. Now, you hesitated there for a second, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to say, on the count of three, I want you to do your best to pick up the pen. Okay?
Okay.
One, two, three. Oh. See, zero hesitation.
I can't even count eight to three.
Exactly, right? Zero hesitation. So what you say the word try, you unconsciously give yourself an out. Well, I can't, you know, maybe I don't have to do it, you know? So when you say I'm going to do my best to pick up the pen, it's like instant. I don't even think about it. There's no, you know, chatter here about it.
Yeah, and it's funny because when you said try, I'm like, what do you mean try? Of course I can do it. But
right.
That's a table.
Exactly. You either do it or you don't do it.
What
does try mean anyway? It doesn't mean anything other than it's giving the unconscious the out to not do it.
Right. Oh, that's...
And again, out of your awareness, this is not something you're purposely doing. We're just, we bring it to your awareness that you're like, oh, I didn't even realize that I can do that, right? And so now if you do your best, you just tell your mind. Your unconscious mind is like a little toddler, by the way. It literally needs very strict instructions. You know, we don't tell a kid like, hey, do you want to go try to put your jacket on? It's like, no, go put your jacket on. We need to, right? Same concept. It needs very specific instructions. So that's one. And the other one is the word but. Mm-hmm. If you say, I really want to have this beautiful retreat, but fill in the blank, you unconsciously just deleted everything that you said you wanted.
I see.
And so I want to have a successful retreat and I need to work on whatever it is that you, the rest of that sentence is.
I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Try, but both of those words, get them out of your, do your best.
Yeah. I need to be more conscious about them because I didn't even realize how much I was saying them.
And we don't.
10 minutes.
One of our big jobs. Yeah, go ahead, Melissa.
And be aware of it in your social posts as well. It's not just the spoken language, it's the written language. And I will give you a heads up that ChatGPT loves the word but. And so if you're using ChatGPT, you need to go through and also edit or specifically say, do not use the words but and try.
Oh, wow.
It's in both written and verbal language that it has the same implication. And so the message that you're wanting to put out about your retreat to your potential clients is all around the possibilities for them. And if you start putting buts in, then you're going to cancel out some of that.
I see.
Which is why we use neuro-linguistic programming as one of the modalities to help people get out of their own way, is because NLP is literally using the language of your mind to obtain your desired result. If your result is not where you want it, it's likely that the languaging that you're using is preventing you from getting there. Like bringing that awareness of how am I speaking to myself? What am I focusing on? Which really comes back to anxiety, is the anxiety is your unconscious's mind it's your unconscious mind's way of saying, hey, stop focusing on what you don't want. Start focusing on what you do want. And so that's the shift. I saw that land. That's the shift for anxiety, where it's like you're thinking of all the things that could go wrong. If we can shift it to the unconscious mind, say, okay, I'm not going to worry about that because that's a hypothetical. I'm going to focus on what I do want to do and what I need to do and the success of it, which is basically what this whole anxiety protocol is based on.
I see, yeah.
Everything that I can control versus all the things that I'm making up in my head that are all things I can't control anyway.
Right, yeah, yeah. That's such an interesting way you put that, because I, you know, we all kind of understand what anxiety is, like worrying about things you can't control, like you said, Melissa, but using it as a, it's almost like a little radar, like, oh, this feeling, you should focus on something else.
Billy loves to call it,
you know,
police days, the rumble strips on the side of the road, right? When you hit the rumble strip, it's like, oh, I'm getting out of my lane. I got to get back in my lane.
Right.
You know, have you ever driven and you feel like you're the steering wheel? Bzz,
yeah.
You hit this rumble strip. That's literally the unconscious mind saying, stop focusing there. Like, get back to where you need to focus.
Right. Instead of thinking it as like a, oh, I'm an anxious person and like identifying with it. It's like, it's just like a radar, a trigger point of like, move somebody. Oh, that's so.
I literally can say, thank you, unconscious mind. Okay, I'm going to start focusing on what I need to focus on.
Because
it's the one that grows, right? It's your thought process is creating your reality.
Yeah.
So if your reality right now is imposter syndrome and I'm worried all these things, it's your thought process that's creating that. So if you can learn to shift that thought process into, okay, I need to get this done, I need that done, that helps with the procrastination, which we have other really cool anchoring techniques that can help you with procrastination to get you into that motivation. And this is just literally one of those things that just gets you back onto the road that you need to get back on, back into your lane.
Gotcha. Wow. Okay.
And to your point about I'm an anxious person and taking it on as our identity, that's because there's so much talk about it in society in these days, right? And it becomes part of our programming. Mm-hmm. And again, our work is to rewire the neurology to shift the programming that no longer serves and shift it to something that is serving to you. And anxiety as an identity is never going to serve anybody. It doesn't need to be an identity. It is literally just the get back in my lane and focus on what I can control and I can keep moving forward.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Nell, have you seen that movie Inside Out 2?
Yes, of course.
You know, it's so funny when that first came out, because I have little children, they're 8 and 9.
Yeah.
And I was, why are they making anxiety normal? And it actually upset me because I, you know, there's a lot of people that, like Melissa said, they use it as a crutch. They use it as like an excuse to stay on victim island, as we call it.
Right.
I have anxiety, so I can't do these things. Cancel, cancel, cancel. Except when I watched the movie, I realized every single emotion, whether it's good or bad, is there literally to serve a purpose.
Yeah.
It's there to serve a purpose. Now, as long as you don't let anxiety take over, which is what happened in that movie when it just started going all crazy. Control.
I cried in that moment.
Right. And that's literally what happens is people get stuck in that anxiety and they get stuck in that emotion. Mm-hmm. And this protocol that we're going to teach you literally just helps you release it again if it does get into that. Because life's going to happen. We can't control that. However, if we can give you some tools and techniques that once I get stuck there, I have that lifeboat, that lifesaver that can help me get back over here to Solution City as opposed to getting stuck on Victim Island here.
Mm. Oh, beautiful.
You ready?
Yes, I am.
All right. That was all. You take it away.
So we are first going to elicit your timeline. And I'm just going to take you through a process and you can just, I want to make sure I can see your hands. So you're able to adjust because I just want you to be able to point in a direction and I need to be able to see that where you're pointing in relation to your body. That's perfect.
Okay.
Awesome. So I'm just going to ask you to take a deep breath. Inhale, exhale. Get out of your head, breathe down into your body. Another nice deep breath. Nice exhale. Good. So Janelle, if I were to ask your unconscious mind where your past is and where your future is, I have an idea that you might say it's from left to right or front to back or up to down or in some direction to your body. And it's not your conscious concept that I'm interested in, it's your unconscious. So if I were to ask your unconscious mind, where is your past? To what direction would you point? Behind you. Good. and your future, what direction would you point if I asked your unconscious mind where your future is?
To the front.
Perfect. So now would you bring to mind the directions that you pointed to? Do you notice that they imply a line?
Yeah.
Perfect. Now, when I say a line, I don't mean to imply only visual, because in a moment, I'm going to ask you to float up above that line. And by float, I also mean as sounds floating in the wind or floating in the bathtub or visually. However you float above your timeline is perfect. So can you just float up above your timeline? Up above your timeline. Good. Make sure you are looking through your own eyes. And now, remaining above your timeline, just float back into the past. Good. Are you there?
Yep. Yeah.
Good. Float back toward now and stop there. Are you there?
Yeah.
Good. Now, facing toward the future, float up higher and farther back into the past. And now float into your future.
Well,
are you there?
Yes, I think so.
Good. Now float up higher and higher and higher. Float so high that your timeline seems like it's only 1 inch long.
Well.
Good. Float back to now and float down into now and come back into the room. And open your eyes. Good. How is that?
Interesting, because when you said to float to my past or my future, I started to visualize like things from my past and visualize things from my future. And it wasn't just the line anymore.
Right.
Like, I have to try to tell myself, oh, it's a line. Don't get too caught up in the visuals of what it was or what it could be.
Beautiful. I love your own coaching yourself through that.
So Janelle, one of the things that's different with what we do is that we work with the unconscious. And when people are getting too much into their conscious mind, which that's just the programming, that's what we're used to, they're going out of their unconscious. So we really want you to just trust your unconscious mind and know that it knows where to go and it knows what to do, instead of you thinking, am I doing this right or am I not doing it right? However your conscious mind does it is exactly right for you.
Right?
So just trust it, because I know you said, I think so, I'm here. Just trust that you're there. As long as you follow the instructions, and this is just simply follow the instructions. So if Melissa says, point, go to the forward, then just say, okay, I'm going to move to the forward. I'm not going to judge it in any way, right? Because that's where our critical faculty, like our analytical mind, starts judging. Am I doing this right? Am I not doing this right? And so we just trust that it's going to go exactly where you need to go, and you don't have to think about it. Because the thinking is the conscious mind.
Got it.
See how you feel, because your unconscious mind is all in your body, right? It's your nervous system. So just trust your nervous system to go where it needs to go, and just follow the instructions is the easiest thing I can say without worrying about it.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
All right. So now we're going to go play again on your timeline. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Excellent. Just take another big inhale and exhale. Get back into your body. Beautiful. And now, Janelle, just float up above your timeline. Back up above your timeline. And now I want you to go out above the future to 15 minutes past the successful completion of your retreat in April of 2026, after your final closing circle on the beach. That event about which you thought you were anxious, successfully completing your retreat with 16 paying clients. And tell me when you're there.
I'm here.
Good. Turn around and look toward now along your timeline. And now, where's the anxiety?
In my body, or no, I don't feel it, actually.
Excellent. That's the result we're looking for. Beautiful. So come back to now along your timeline. Just float all the way back to now. Wonderful. And when you're at now, float down into the room and open your eyes.
No.
Wonderful.
Interesting.
And so,
congratulations.
Yes. Congratulations. See how quick it is when we work with
you? Yeah, wait, what?
Because it's so quick.
Hold on. I'm gonna push my button.
Oh my gosh, that was a button. When you asked me where's the anxiety, I felt my conscious thinking mind think, where could it be? It could be in my body, it could be my thoughts, or like, you know, and then I realized, wait, I feel at ease right now. So it's okay to feel at ease.
Yes.
Really interesting that I was almost searching for where it could be.
Yes. And if you notice what she said, it's 15 minutes past the successful completion of whatever it is that you thought you were anxious about.
Yeah.
Unconsciously, because, you know, the timelines all exist at the same time. You've already been there, done that. It was amazing. So now there's no need for the anxiety. So going back to it served a purpose. There's no need for that anxiety anymore because it's already been successfully completed. And so then now that's why you can't find the anxiety anymore, because there's no purpose for it anymore. So the unconscious mind is like, okay, we're good. We got it done.
Oh, wow. And at a chunk up level even higher, our unconscious mind's number one job is to keep us safe and alive. And what you just showed us is that at the end of that event, you were safe and alive. Well, the unconscious mind wants to know. You didn't die. You know, cancel, 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 right?
Yeah.
You survived your retreat, and your unconscious mind now knows you survived. It's happy. No need for anxiety.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting.
And now the great thing about this is now you can do this at any moment, anytime as you're continuing, that you'll get that anxiety. You just literally take a deep breath. The reason why we breathe out into our body is, again, get into our body, our unconscious mind, not our monkey mind, and literally go out, float around. Now you know where your timeline is. You could just literally have yourself float out 15 minutes past successful. That's the key word, the successful completion of whatever it is. So whether it's you signing this invoice, you know, paying that deposit, or putting yourself out there on social media and, you know, introducing it, do that same technique 15 minutes past of whatever it is that you're having that anxiety about, and then just go do it.
Got it. Okay. And so what if, like, in another situation, if I can't picture that successful, like 15 minutes past that, how would you go about it?
So this does have to be used for a very specific incident. So you must be able to pinpoint the event. And once you can pinpoint the event, you will be able to picture it. Because even if you're imagining it, because it hasn't happened yet, right? You're going to imagine it as long as you have a specific event. If you say, I'm anxious about life, well, you can't picture that. It's too big. This technique isn't going to work. We have to go, okay, what's the biggest thing in your life right now that you're anxious about? Let's focus on that.
Got it.
This technique is part of the bigger modality called timeline therapy that we teach. And that deals with, like, the big negative, major negative emotions like anger, fear, sadness, hurt, guilt, rage, shame. You know, or some big limiting beliefs that you have, that I'm not safe in the world, or I'm not powerful, I'm not worthy. So we could do those techniques for those kind of more bigger, you know, overall, like, bigger, you know, issues that you're having. This one is specifically for specific events. That's why it's quick. And this one can be used as needed, right? Really, literally use as needed. Yeah. And, you know, for the timeline therapy, we suggest doing that once a month, just to kind of keep those things clear, because it goes to the root cause. First time you ever felt anger or shame or guilt, and then it releases all the emotions connected to it. So it's a very, very powerful.
Thank you so much. That was a very interesting experience. Very enlightening. And I appreciate you guys doing this for me too. It was a great experience.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Clear the Screen Show. If you love what you heard, take a screenshot, post it on social media, and tag us, because we would love to celebrate you.
And if you want to go deeper, scan the QR code check out our Light Circle membership. This is a community where it's going to serve you and uplift you and empower you, because when you end your anxiety, that's where your abundance begins. And when you can amplify you, then you can impact others.